That was really beautiful.
Thank
I love the way you did that.
And I love it was beautifully played as well. It was like,
I really don't get it that much of a chance to accompany somebody, and it's really a kick doing that, and especially playing out of tempo like that.
Yeah, I love playing. I love
you
tempo.
Like that.
Yeah, I do. Well, I'm not used to playing these sort of songs. Either I've adapted them to a different kind of accompaniment, as I mentioned with The Very Thought of You, or I've done them solo or with piano accompaniment, but never with a rhythm section that you might expect to find in the idiom of these songs.
You picked one that I don't know when I last thought of this one. They'll never believe me. Where did that come from? Who wrote that?
Jerome Kern wrote it, and I fell in love with it from a Mel Tormé record. And then when I made a record with a string quartet, the Brodsky Quartet, and we wrote a group of songs together, which were all in the form of letters. It was called the Juliet Letters, and we wrote the words and the music together in different combinations of the quartet and myself.
In the form of letters.
Every song in the sequence was a different kind of letter, from a love letter to a child's note to a suicide note to a soldier's letter home to an immigrant's letter. There were all different forms of letters that we tried to write.
What an interesting idea.
And it tried to give us different ways that we could write and perform together, because they were a classical quartet and they were interested in a collaboration, and I was a big fan of their performances of classical music, and we found that we had much more in common than you might imagine. And we made a recording, and then we did a world tour, and obviously we had just written these 20 songs, and it lasted slightly shorter than people would expect a concert to be, so we then had to find some other songs. And we arranged, I arranged Almost Blue, the song that we performed earlier. We looked into doing, you know, songs by other songwriters that we could adapt to the idea of a quartet and accompanying voice, or really we tried to think of it as a quintet with voice as one of the voices among the strings.
So you taught yourself to arrange.
Well, that was the time that I actually got down to learning how to write music down. Before that, I just communicated with, you know, with example, and here's the beat, and play a record that has the kind of feel that I like, and let's sort of get the idea of that and cross these two things. That's the way a lot of pop music is put together, because the actual changes are pretty simple. When I tackled the notation problem, I solved two things at once. One was I was then able to communicate to a broader range of musicians, but I also had the ability to bring songs from perhaps before the rock and roll era, because with the string quartet, you could take a song from 1914, which in the case of They'll Never Believe Me, it's written in 1914.
Sure. Or 1814.
I was really fascinated by the fact that something as tender as that was written during the First World War, you know, and the idea of it and being written in those days. And so Jackie Thomas, the cellist from the Brodsky Quartet, did a beautiful arrangement, very much in the period. It was, you know, not... I didn't sing it in with accompaniment that was typical that you hear today, more a 1914 arrangement.
Well,
but nevertheless, it's a song which I don't think it can be played at any time.
It's a beautiful song. I'd see what I can do to accompany you.
Okay.
And
see how we do.
See how we do.